teaching about the two prophets coming, and we made mention of the gathering of the nations into the battle of Armageddon. We didn't detail a lot of things, but we kind of unified as to a sequence to where you could kind of understand a little bit. And we've done this on several different occasions. We have taken the different passages of scriptures and the different chapters of scriptures in the book of Revelation, and we've kind of set them in a sequence or set them in order to where they would make sense to you and you could follow through. And that way, when you go to study, you would be able to understand. All of those that are really interested in growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. You know, one thing I'd like to pass on to you, maybe you already know this and maybe you already think on this, but it might do you good to refresh your mind concerning this. And that is that it doesn't matter how much you come to church, that isn't going to take you to heaven. You're going to attend church with regularity. But that doesn't mean that you are a Christian. It doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. You could pray. That doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. You could give in the offering. That doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. You're going to live on the campground. You're going to be considered part of the brotherhood, part of the sisters. That still doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. That doesn't mean you got salvation. You can say that I'm a Christian. That still doesn't mean that you have salvation or that you're going to heaven. Then, what really would be the answer? Well, one writer said that charity out of a pure heart, that this is the answer to it. Charity out of a pure heart. And that love is as strong as death. But it is said that to be carnally minded is death. You know, you can go to church and you can do all the religious things that there is to be done and be just as natural minded, just as carnal minded as can be, and still be just as religious as can be. So then to be carnally minded is death. 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 I want that to really seat and root. To be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death. Anytime that you are naturally minded, carnally minded, anytime your mind is on houses and cars and eating and drinking and laughing and talking and relatives and visiting and studying and learning and buying and selling and going and having and owning and laughing, just talking, living in this world that is being natural, that has been carnally minded, when it's on pretty things like clothes and all these other kind of things, money, whatever it might be, that means that you are dead while you live. While you're having a good time, the Bible said they that live in pleasure are dead while they live. It was said that Jesus was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. So to be carnally minded is death. If you're having a good time in this world, then you can be sure that you are dead. But to be spiritually minded is life, even eternal life. It is life, and it is peace. And the Bible says, they that keep their minds stayed upon Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. To be spiritually minded is peace. It's life. All of the plans of God are peace. And they that keep their mind stayed upon Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. If your mind is on eating and drinking and baking cakes and cookies, planting gardens and watering flowers, I just thought we'd move over to your streets that you live on, sewing dresses, scrubbing floors and washing dishes, visiting with your children, running to and fro, eating hot dogs and drinking milkshake, and on and on and on, then that means you are carnally minded and you are abiding in debt. Having money and thinking about what you got. It's real comical, and yet it isn't comical either, I don't guess. But as a brother sitting here was, I said something the other day about loving mammon. And he said he guessed he had the love of money. Said he just counted his money all the time. Said he thought about his money all the time and how much he had. And then he stopped and he said, well, he said, he reckoned it wasn't all that bad. Said, because I do give money away. And then he stopped again and he said, but I always count it to see how much I give away. So that bothered him too. So at least he was real honest about what he had to say. Folks, unless we can come to the place to where we are spiritually minded, unless we can meditate in the laws of God day and night, and unless we can cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, to where we think spiritually, to where our thoughts are heavenly, our thoughts are spiritual, our thoughts are concerning godly things, holy things, righteous things, heavenly things, things that pertain to helping people, things that pertain to winning souls, things that pertain to something that's spiritual and godly and holy and helpful, that things that make us to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, things that pertain to the church, that pertain to the children of God. Until we get like that, we don't have salvation. You don't have salvation. You don't even have the mind of Christ. Did you know that the mind of the Lord Jesus, the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that this mind that was in Christ Jesus continually thought about His Father's desire, His Father's will, His Father's way, and everything that He thought about, everything that He talked about, everything that He'd done, everything that He always did during His lifetime consists of one thing, and that was His Father's desire. And He said that this mind should be in you, that His concern was always about helping others. And did you know the Bible said to do unto others as you would have others to do unto you? That upon this hangs all of the law, or rests all the law and the prophets. You know, if I ask you the question, I say, now do you do unto others as you would have others to do unto you? Of course, you know the first thing we would think, of course we do. But do you really? You know you don't. I mean, let's be truthful about it. You know you don't. You don't do one third unto others like you do unto yourself. You see that yourself is fed well. You don't see that others are fed well. Now, do you? You see that you're clothed well. You don't see that others are clothed well. You see that you have a good vehicle to ride in. You don't bother about seeing that others have a good vehicle to ride in. Now, do you? You see that you have some money to spend. You don't see that others have money to spend. Are you listening, folks? You see that your children are taken care of. You don't see that others' children are taken care of. Isn't that right? You're concerned about your soul and your children's soul, but are you concerned about other people's souls? Somebody said, well, I'm greatly concerned, but I'm mean enough to fast and pray and share your finance or share your time or go into all the world and try to tell them or help somebody else to step all night somewhere trying to do something or labor that you might have to give of your strength, of your substance, or whatever. Do you really do that? Do you love others as you do yourself? You think on your face a lot of times. You think on your body a lot of times. You think on your future a lot of times. Sometimes you spend years in study thinking on yourself as to your career and as to what you want to be, as to what you want to buy, as to your plans for your future, as to your home, as to all the wonderful things that you want, as to your career and whatever. You don't do that to others now, do you? Sometimes you take quite a large sum of money around with you, or you have it in the bank for yourself, but if you put it in the bank for anybody else, let's give the Lord a hand. I'm talking about loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Now somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I think that's absurd. Well, I don't think that's absurd. I think that's the Word of God. Let's give the Lord a hand. Nothing absurd about it. Somebody would say, well, you mean to tell me that if I got $5,000 in the bank, I should put $5,000 in the bank for somebody else? I certainly do not. I think that's absurd. What you should do is divide the $5,000 maybe into $200 lot and put $200 in the bank for each one of them. If you're going to do it, let's give the Lord a hand. And all of them could have $200 or break it down into $100. Or maybe you should break it down into $25 lots and feed all them hungry babies. You love the Lord? You might even break it down more than that, depending on how many people you can get to. Somebody would say, well, I wouldn't have any money in the bank if I did that, Brother Pike. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Then you probably have salvation in your heart. All right. Somebody said, you mean you have to get like that to have salvation? You have to get like that to have salvation. Can't serve mammon and serve God too. That's why the Bible said that in the early church they sold all that they had and laid it down at the apostles' feet. All right, so we are beginning to see the light. To walk in the light as He is in the light, and we'll have fellowship one with another, not only with God but with our fellow man. You said, now, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm talking about loving one another. Loving one another as we love ourselves. Somebody say hallelujah. I think it is a great sermon, don't you? I ain't even really got into the sermon yet. I'm just getting started, you. This, I ought to have amens from everywhere. Got amen from somewhere. Either that person's broke and don't have no money, or either they're enjoying what I'm saying. All right. So I think this is wonderful that we can share with one another, that we should share with one another, and we should love one another because God wants us to love one another. Let's just read just a little bit right here. Chapter 1, the book of James. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no longer risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grass of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of whom his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creature. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of God worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and his Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and said to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou here, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourself, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, or convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. And if thou commit no adultery, yet if I kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and do so as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his work, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messenger and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, wheresoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and is set on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and flesh. I did not know that it was found here that we should, as I say, love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But here it is, the same thing I was talking to you about. Like always, the Spirit within our heart agreeing with the Word. Now, let's just talk a few minutes on that, can we? What is your opinion? The writer said here, faith without works is dead. That is, I could come to you talking about my great faith in God, which people do a lot of times. But if I never did pray, if I never did fast, if I never did study the Word, if I never did give anything to the poor, if I never did travel abroad to testify of the wonderful things of God, if I never did do anything here on the home front to try to erect a monumental praise unto God, if I had no concern about the things of God, to keep a place of worship or whatever, where would my faith be? Isn't it a true fact that what we see around us as to whatever is established here at Bethlehem or established abroad or whatever we might do as to a telecast or a broadcast or a printed page or giving this to needy or poor or whatever it might be, or as to world evangelism, whatever we might do to help the poor or send to Mexico, whatever it might be, isn't that the testimony of the faith of the people of Little Bethlehem or of the brotherhood of Little Bethlehem? Isn't that our faith sent abroad? Isn't that the manifestation of our faith? Isn't that the proof of our faith? Isn't that the thing that brings the reward from God? See, can I say that I have faith and not do anything? You brethren that stay here, you sisters that stay here, that say you're part of Little Bethlehem and you really don't make any sacrifices to give, you don't have any faith. And you that don't fast and you that don't pray and you that don't get out here and labor with these brethren or go abroad or do anything to keep the home fires burning or to make any special effort as to keep these lights on or to whatever it might be around here. You ladies or men, boys and girls, whatever it might be, you don't have any faith. You know, you're playing some kind of game. When the time of the translation comes, you're not going to make the translation because you're not doing anything. You people that have offices and just let the offices lay waste, and you don't really get in there and do anything in your office, you don't have any faith. You're lethargy, you're unconcerned, you're riding about, you're staying at home, you're eating and drinking and gossiping and backbiting and spending and having and buying and selling, all these things as to the natural, your carnality, that's exactly what you are. As to your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, your job, your importance, whatever is important to you, as to the world and you're just coming to church and whatever it is, you don't have any faith. And folks, you're not going anywhere. That's kind of hard, isn't it? But you're not going anywhere. You're just playing a game. You know more than any other church. Because there's hundreds and millions of people across the world that's not going anywhere. They're just churchgoers, and that's all there is to it. But folks, let me tell you, serving God, though it be joy and peace and righteousness and the Holy Ghost, serving God is an effort. Serving God is doing something. Serving God is putting forth an effort. Serving God is making a sacrifice. Serving God is being concerned. The Bible said pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the orphans and the widows in their afflictions and then keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father, is that you visit the widows and the orphans and their afflictions. Somebody would say, well, I thought you were saved by faith. That is faith. It's when you do something for the orphans and you do something for the widows. Like David Paul, he went up to transact with some fella over here in Tennessee. This man belongs to a church there, and he got with his pastor. I found out today. And he told his pastor, said, you know, let's get together and let's do something for the needy. And I think he sent, I don't know, maybe 3,000 Bibles or more down into Mexico. I don't know how many other things. He said, I'll pay half of it, pastor, if you can get the people together and raise the money for the other half. I thought that was great. The man's prospering, making money. He's got a logging operation. And God's blessed it so now he's fixing to open up another logging operation. down in Guatemala said, tell Brother Pike, if you'll go down there, I'll work with him down in Guatemala. We'll build churches down there. I'm going to open up a logging operation down there, and Japan's just waiting for me to send logs over there to them. They want to buy them, so they're really just kind of going wild over these log homes, and they're waiting for me to ship them in. And all over this place is down in South America, Central America, whatever. You understand what I'm saying? And said, tell him that property out in Colorado, I'm ready to help him build a church out there, a 40 by 60, build a log cabin out there, or windows, stained glass, whatever he wants. I'll pay half of it, and he pays half of it. And said, I'll give him that half just to build that church out there so he can have my log cabin church out there. Isn't that wonderful? Let's give the Lord a hand. You know what that is? That's faith. That's why the man's prospering. That's why the man's prospering. Somebody says, hallelujah, let him do it, Brother Pike. But that isn't the way it is. It's hallelujah. Lord, help me to meet him halfway. Let's give the Lord a hand. I told somebody today, I said, man, that sounds good to me. Let him do his half. I'll do my half. I just love to set a church out there. That's close to New Mexico out there. It's not too far. A lot of poor folks down there. Got that land out there, about 40 acres. Set a church out there, and Brother John Jameson, he can speak Spanish, and Sister Marie, and my lands. We just send them out there and let them preach to them folks. Brother Brown, they're supposed to come over here. They're down in Costa Rica down there, or we'll be down there pretty soon. Let them go down and preach and come back. Send them out there and let them preach some of them folks. How do you like that? Sure. Right out of old Mexico into New Mexico. Let them win some souls out there. My, I think that'd be wonderful. That's what I like, you know, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, so when you like to finance a project like that, you might even wind up with a log home. Who knows? Might even wind up with a log business. Praise God. That fellow's got himself an airplane. He's got himself a, what's it called, a helicopter, a log operation. And as a matter of fact, he said he's going to work with me. He said if I wanted it, he's getting a hold of another helicopter. Said he could work something out where I could have a helicopter too. Let's give the Lord another hand. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Just delight yourself in me. Whatever you want, he said, I'll give it to you. All right, so this is the way I see it, folks. Doing something for Jesus. Always doing something for the Lord. That's what we're supposed to be doing. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I think it's wonderful. So if you're not doing anything for God, let's do something for God. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I don't know nothing that I can do. A little old me, I just can't do nothing. I go home tonight and I wake up in the morning and I look around and there's nothing that I can do. Well, I got a job for you tonight. I got a job for you tonight. The first thing in the morning, I can put you to work. First thing in the morning. Would you like to do something? Would you really like to do something? All right, the first thing in the morning, don't eat a bite till tomorrow when the sun goes down. That'll be your first job. And the next day, don't eat a bite till the sun goes down. That'll be your second job. And the next day, don't eat a bite till the sun goes down. That'll be your third job. And after that, we'll be ready to do something else. Let's give the Lord a hand. When you get through with that, then the next night we'll pray all night and don't get up till the sun comes up. And the next night don't get up till the sun comes up. And the next night don't get up till the sun comes up. And when you get through with that, we've got another job. Just look at all the things to do. And then we got something else for you to do. Isn't there a lot to do? And my, there's so much to do on the home front. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you must be joking. I'm not joking. I'm just as serious as I can be. I'm just as serious as I can be. Wouldn't that be wonderful? My, there's so much to do. You folks is just eating and drinking and doing nothing. Well, you just don't realize how much there is to do. Somebody would say, my God, Brother Pike, you could never do that. Well, that's an easy thing right there. That's an easy thing. So you thought it was hard? Just to share your paycheck. I believe you'd rather share your paycheck. Let's give the Lord a hand. See how easy it was and what you had to do? Let somebody else do that other part and you just share your paycheck. That's easier, ain't it? That's between the rock and the hard place. All right, somebody say hallelujah. This is good preaching, ain't it? You don't like that for good preaching. I can tell. No, that's not good preaching there, Brother Pike. All right, so then we can see that we need to do something for God. How wonderful it is to do something for God. But you know what it is, folks? The Bible said we're greedy dogs that don't never get enough. We're greedy dogs. We'll never get enough to eat. We don't never get enough time for ourselves. We don't never have no time for God. You know, if we loved our neighbor as ourselves, wouldn't we do different? Wouldn't we do different if we loved our neighbor as ourselves? I wonder how many of us love our neighbor enough. I wonder how many of us actually love our little children enough that we're willing to stay away from corruption and stay away from sin and hate sin. And the Bible said, hating the garments that spotted with iniquity, pulling souls out of the fire. I wonder how many of us really, truly hate corruption enough to share our life and our substance to overthrow it. I wonder how many of us love our little children, our mothers and our daddies and our loved ones enough that we're willing to get down on our knees and put in a few hours of prayer or to push back the plate and miss a meal or two for the sake of Christianity and for the sake of the survival. Like someone was telling me today from down, they'd been down in Brazil, and they'd come back and they said, them people really want y'all to come down there, Brother Pike, for a crusade. Yeah, you know, not too long ago, you sent a nice, you bought a nice station wagon for them, and they're having a time with it down there. But anyway, he was just telling me, he said, one of the political leaders, I believe it is down there, said he stood up and made a statement, said, you know, said, we appreciate you sending means of purification for water and means for these different things that help as to the sanitation and all these kind of things that you're sending down here. Said, but what we need is some preachers down here to help these people get straightened out and get their minds on God. Let's get, can you imagine political folks talking like that? Even they are beginning to see that they need some kind of mind correction, turning toward God, that education isn't going to do it. Education isn't going to do it. I don't mean it wrong. I hope you know that I don't get too strong. Sometimes, perhaps I get too strong. You know, I just say a thing like I understand it or see it because I really was reared up in the country and I don't know too much about things other than just the way I think it, unless the Lord speaks to me. And maybe I get kind of crude sometimes. Paul said rude in speech and yet not in knowledge. But the old tree of knowledge, to me, the whole world has been corrupted by it ever since Eve started that thing. And I don't see where it's done us any good. It seemed to me like everything it's ever done has been terrible. It's been bad. It's been rough. You know, and I know we accredit every good thing to the old tree of knowledge. Even our medical world, you know, and medical science and all these good things, we accredit it to medical science and we accredit our electrical flows and all these electronics and our electrical devices and all these things. We're accredited to mankind and to the electronics. I know that. I know that. You know, but when you principally get down to real basics, you go back and you find somebody out there flying a kite with a little key on a string and lightning striking it and God sending down electricity and giving us the answer. That's all the science there was to it. You know, and I brought up the revelation on that. How that by revelation it came. Isn't that wonderful? How that God revealed all them things. And I brought out that if scientists are so brilliant and they brought all the healing medicines and all these things, why is it the Bible said when the blood is lifted off the seat of atonement and there's no more blood on the seat of atonement that we're going to have all them brilliant science around here? And the Bible said in that day there will not be any healing medicines. If they're the ones that's so brilliant and they brought it by their brilliance and science and all this brilliant brilliance brought it, what happened to all the healing medicines? All the colleges are still going to be here. All the great scientists are still going to be here. But there's not going to be any healing medicines. What about that, folks? Sounds to me like healing comes from God. Isn't that right? Every good gift comes from God. All these things come from God. But where the problem comes in is the devil is sitting in a human body as to the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And through that old intellectual, conniving, serpent-like way, he's taking credit for every good thing that comes into the earth. And he connivingly works that thing around with money and with his philosophy until he gets control of it. And he exalts himself, raises himself up, and puts God out of the picture and magnifies himself just like Nebuchadnezzar did down there in Babylon. And just like the old Babylonian leaders, when they walked around and looked at the wall and saw all these great things, and they said, look at what I've done, and look at what my hands have gotten me. And the Bible said just about that time that thing from God struck him. He lost his mind. He went out with the beast until his nails grew out like claws and his hair grew out like feathers. And doing that time seven times passed over him until the day that his mind returned to him. And when his mind returned to him, he found himself like a beast out in the field, his body wet with the dews of heaven. And he looked up and he cried out to God and said, oh God, I give thee glory, and I know that thou art the most high God and thou rulest in the kingdom. And about that time, all of a sudden, the fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel that said your kingdom will return to you after X amount of days, here come the men looking for him, and the great men of the kingdom begin to search out the old king, restored him, cut the fingernails, cut the hair, and set him back on the throne. And he went around praising God. Let's give the Lord a hand. He was called the servant of God. Folks, that's what we need to do. See, America ain't nothing. Scientists ain't nothing. Brilliant men ain't nothing. You know, we're just a little stack of bones. But we need to let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. That's where healing comes from. That's where understanding comes from. That's where salvation comes from. That's where all these great things come from, is through God Almighty. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we need. That's what we need. So then, we'll start right here. All of the law and the prophets rest upon one thing, and that is this, that thou should love thy neighbor as thyself, and do unto thy neighbor as thou wouldst have thy neighbor to do unto thee. Do unto thy neighbor as thou wouldst have thy neighbor to do unto thee. For upon this rest all of the law and the prophets. Isn't that wonderful? All right, so tonight, we could start right there. Now, who would like to start that off tonight? To do unto somebody the same way that they would like to have somebody to do unto them. Who would like to think of something tonight to start that off? Do you know of anybody that you could do something to? Help Brother who? Well, I heard Brother Taylor over the TV. I was in the TV room pleading Brother Brown's cause, but I done told Sister Betty before she come up here, we done paid that. We done take care of that. See, that's already been paid. You can't help us with that. That's already been paid. But I appreciate Brother Taylor trying to help with that. That's already been taken care of. A lot of things that need, we could use some help with. We don't have to have any help with it. But there's a lot of things we could use some help with, but we've already taken care of that. They've already got their tickets and already got their money, and I guess they're happy and just about ready to be on their way, you know. But anyway, could you tonight purpose in your heart tonight that you're going to leave from the sanctuary being a different person, that you might do something for God? You know, the last few days I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I got to have some money. I got to have some money and I need a little help. And the last few days I said, I got to have a little help. And I said, I feel it squeezy a little bit, not hurting. And I really haven't been. I said, but I see where I need a little help. Things just begin to fall around. So immediately he turned me about $70,000 or more that quick. which I needed that, you know, to help out. But we have to do that, see, to keep the wheels turning. Like Brother Walden wrote the other day, wrote a form letter. He said he had to have about $100,000. Whereas I know the boy's got to have it. The way he operates, he has to have it. It's nothing for a man like Brother Walden to have $100,000. And then don't go a long ways even then. But I found out one thing. If you trust the Lord, if you look to God, you don't have any problem. He gives it to you. Now, you say, well, I think you exaggerate. No, now I might be under a little bit. But I think, Sister Betty, to tell you, I'm not exaggerating as far as I know. It's $7,000, I would think it would be well over that. But I said at least $70,000 that he turned to me. I can think of 30, 40, 50, 5, 60, probably 55, 60 right offhand. And probably another 10,000 without any problem. Anyway, he took care of it. Because he helps me. He works with me. And somebody said, well, don't that take care of it, Brother Pike? No, it don't take care of it. See, like Brother Brown today, Sister Brown. I think it was almost $3,000 today it took. Right, Chloe? Is that right, Betty? Right close to $3,000. Am I right? 25, 6, 7, 8. Am I right, Frank? $2,800 just to help them just a little bit. I mean, that was just a little bit. Just to get them down there to where they could see their dad before he died. See, who knows what might come out of that for God. But it takes a lot of effort. So, hey, well, won't that take care? Of course not. I'm expecting the Lord to look our way, you know, and take care of us. If I live another year, if I live another 10 years, you know, if I live long enough, I might live long enough, he might have to give me a few million. It just depends on how long we stay around here, how long you stay around, how much you're going to need. See? You understand what I'm saying? So we are expecting great things of God. An abundance filled up and overflowing. Somebody said, well, where is it coming from? So you don't expect to get it out of me, do you? Well, I don't know. You can't ever tell. He's liable to give some to you, and you might want to give it. Can't ever tell. I'm not really expecting to get it out of you, that's for sure. I read where it said he would supply all my needs. I never read where it said you would supply all my needs. It said he would. But I did read where it said, so shall men give into your bosom good measure, pressed down, heaped together, and running over. As a matter of fact, Brother Bradley came by yesterday, I believe, and gave $1,000 in the offering. There's folks, you know, they're around. They drop by occasionally, and they give to the Lord. So while you're having hard times and everything is so bad on you and you can't give, God, he's just making my cup run over. So he said, well, aren't you trying to take an offering tonight? No, I don't need an offering. Now, I'm not trying to take an offering. I don't need an offering. That's why I told you. When Brother Taylor was up here talking about that, I told him in there, I said, Brother Taylor, don't need to do that. I said, I told Sister Betty before we got to church, we don't need that. He says, I'm not asking for an offering. I don't need an offering. If the Lord told you that he would supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, would you need an offering? Would you need an offering? I don't believe you would. Well, he told me that. So I don't need an offering. He told me he would do it. Now, I've been preaching all these years and traveling all over the world, and I've needed hundreds of thousands of dollars, and he's took care of every bit of it. All right, I had a man call the other day, said, just this quick, I'll turn $150,000 towards you just like that if you want it. Had a man to contact me a few days ago. Said, if you want it, I could turn millions of dollars to me that quick. Won't cost you nothing. Just millions of dollars that quick. Won't cost you nothing. I said, I can't mess with it. Somebody say hallelujah. I heard some other fellows said they wanted to mess with it, so they intend to mess with it. I said, well, that ain't my calling. It ain't my calling to go around collecting millions of dollars. Some of us, well, bless God, I don't believe you could have got it. Well, a man said it could. And he's in a position to give it to me. He's got it as far as I know. As a matter of fact, I think it summed up, was it, I'm not even sure. Was it over 80 million? How much? 82 million? Over $82 million. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, so I've been dealing with about $82 million. Maybe I could have got half of that. I don't know. Anyway, that's not my calling. So we're not looking to that. The Lord said He supplied all my needs. Now, what I'm trying to tell you tonight is we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. Somebody said, well, now, if you'd have got $82 million now, Brother Pike, that would have met your needs. I don't know whether it would or not. I don't know whether that we could have paid the bills as far as that went. I said, and you don't owe no bills like that. But when I got through, I would have owed bills more than that. Because I can think of a lot of bills I could have made with $82 million. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to, what, 5 billion people or more? And $82 million wouldn't have gotten very far with 5 billion people. So what we need to do is preach the gospel. And just like we've converted these people here, convert another billion, and another billion, and another billion. And after a while, we'll have each one of the billion helping the other billion. And then we'll be taking care of the whole thing. No problem. Everybody can help everybody, and it won't be a bit of problem. They won't have to keep billions in the bank. It'll just take care of itself. It's just got a way of taking care of itself. Did you know that's the way the government works it? The government's got billions of people, and they just work a little bit from each one of them, and they just have each one of them take care of each one of them, and they spend billions of dollars, and everybody just takes care of themselves. That's all you got to do. No problem. All right, let's stand together. I want you to decree in your heart. The Bible said decree a thing in your heart and it'll come to pass. Now, the first thing you need to decree in your heart is that you're going to be a Christian. And that you're going to do right. And that the devil ain't going to oppress the life out of you. And that you're going to live an overcoming life. And that you're going to do something for God. You decree in your heart that you're going to share with your neighbor and you're going to share with God of your time in prayer, in fasting and giving, going and doing something for the Lord Jesus, to put your talent and skill to work for God. This is the first thing you need to do. And that you're going to come to the house of the Lord to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to do that. I hope that we'll be going down into Guatemala before long for a crusade and into Brazil for long for a crusade. And I hope we'll be going into Costa Rica before long for a crusade and into Nigeria and into India. There's a number of places that, as far as I know, we'll probably be going for long if the Lord will allow us to do it. He is the big boss. Whatever He says, that's the way it is. Not that there's any problem financially. I don't see any problem. That's one thing that don't bother me is making the trip. Financial problems, I didn't have any thoughts as to difficulty there. I just want God to add to me the desire and strength and ability to do what He wants done. That's all I ask Him for. I can handle it without any problem if He'll do that. So, you pray that God will bless us in what He wants us to do. I believe God is closing the door to this great America. I really believe that. I believe this Olympics has to do with the highlight and then the closing out. And Brother Walden either is reflecting some things that we say or either he must be of the same opinion, because in his letter, he made a similar statement. He feels like that God is closing things out for America. So it looks like God is finishing things up for America.
and looks like America is at a finish.
That means that we need to do something, folks. If you're not ready to meet God, saw a little sign not too long ago along the road that said, prepare to meet your God. And a lot of people are not preparing. They're just going to church. They're just coasting along. But as far as preparations, as to living an overcoming life, as to trying to live holy and godly and pure, and being spiritually minded, they're not making any efforts whatsoever. And they need to make some efforts toward Christ. So if you're not living an overcoming life, you need to. The Bible said, without holiness, no man would see the Lord. And the Bible said, you can't serve God and mammon, so running after money, you're not going to make it. And without a vision, if you're not doing anything, the Bible said, without a vision, the people perish, so you won't make it like that. And if you can't love your neighbor as yourself, you can't make it. And if you can't forsake all and follow me, Jesus said, you can't be my disciple. And if the love of the world's in you, the Bible said, the love of the Father is not there. He that gossipeth and backbiteth with his tongue shall not stand in the holy hill of God. So many things it tells us that we can't be a Christian if we do those things. Or if we neglect certain things. So that means that we're going to have to rise up and be about the Father's business. We're going to have to counsel out on the world. And we're going to have to come together in a unit and be real, genuine children of God if we're going to make the translation. The translation I saw a few nights ago, there was very few people that actually made the translation. As I looked, very few of them actually made it. So to be spiritually minded, they that be spiritually minded, they mind the things of heaven. The Bible said they that are carnally minded, they do mind the things of the world. When it says mind the things of the flesh, it means they think on lust and the desires of the flesh, to eat, to drink, to buy, to sail, to revel, the gullible desires of passions and whatever. Their mind is constantly stayed upon the things of life, natural life, carnal life, temporal life. But they that be spiritual, as to the mind of Christ, their minds are continually stayed upon heavenly things. They're always thinking about doing something for God, how they can do something for their fellow man, how that they can win souls, how they can help the poor, the needy, what they can do on the home front or abroad, always thinking about something heavenly or planning something for Almighty God, making melody in their heart to God, day and night, meditating in the laws of God. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross. You know, that's one thing that we really need to consider. There's room at the cross. A lot of people don't go to the cross. They don't consider the cross. That's the one thing they're not looking for. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, he'll have to have a cross. And said, if he has a cross, he'll have to deny himself. Let him forget about himself, forget about his plans, forget about his career, forget about his life, all of his programs, all of the ambitions of his life, his family, His children, His things, of doing His thing in life, and let Him find Himself a cross. Because when you start forgetting about self, you cross the flesh. You find a cross. You cross the wife. You cross the family. Because the flesh don't like that at all. Take up your cross and follow me, Jesus said. Follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. And where I am, there my disciples will be also. So there's room at the cross. Take up your cross. The flesh crosses the spirit. One of them must die. Either the flesh will die and the spiritual man will win out. Or either the spiritual man will die and the flesh will win out. Though the outer man perishes, yet the inner man is renewed day by day, Paul said. All right, sing with me again. So there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. I see Jonathan over here, Jonathan Clark. And I know Jonathan's got a cross tonight because he was out there till about 4 o'clock or later. With him out trying to get the job done way over in the morning, and then fairly early this morning he was back trying to help, and he's been out there all day trying to work and help us again. So I know that, boy, that gets rough. Some of these boys really plowed through last night and came back today to work. Isn't it wonderful to have people that are willing to take a cross? The old flesh, it'll whine, you know. It doesn't like to die. It just don't want to lose its sleep. It don't want to make a sacrifice. It'll say, my eyes hurt, my head hurts, and I'm sleepy, and I just can't stand this. Say, you're killing me. I'm going to have a heart attack. So there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. For at the cross, where we first saw the life and the burden of our heart. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. For at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. now I am happy all the day. So come in to my heart, Lord, come in. Can you invite the Lord into your heart?
Oh, come in.
Just invite the Lord into your heart. Such a sweet, sweet thought to invite the Lord into your heart. Wonderful to have Jesus to come into your heart. I don't know of anything richer, more wonderful. The Bible says he stands at the heart's door and he knocks. And if you'll open, he'll come in and he'll sup with you. All together. So come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart. Lord Jesus, just come in. Today, Lord, come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's just lift our hands up and close our eyes. Sing that song, peace, peace, what a wonderful peace, sweeping over my soul, deep in my heart, that wonderful peace. How wonderful it is, all the paths of God are peace, and they that keep their minds stayed on Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. We're going to sing this little chorus together while you got your hands up and your eyes closed. Just can we sing it together? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for that bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all rest on this fight. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Sing with me. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm on rescue's finest wife, and I'm ready for the bride. Can you sing that with me? Oh, I'm ready. Can you give him a wave offering tonight? Are you ready? He's coming. Said I'll come back. For be it morning, we're all resting by this light, and we're ready. Sing it with me again now. Are you ready for that bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the Savior to come? Be it morning, noon, night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bride. One more time. Oh, I'm ready now for Jesus to come.
morning, noon, and night. I'm all resting, fireless white, and I'm ready now for Jesus. Once more. Are you ready now for Jesus to come? Are you ready now for God's chosen Son? Be it morning, noon, or night, are you dressed in spotless white? Are you ready for that bridegroom to come? Sing with me now. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in finest white, and I'm ready for one more time together. Can you sing it just one more time? Oh, we're ready for that bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for that bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready. Can you sing it one more time with me? Oh, we're ready for that bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for that bridegroom to come. Getting close now. The time's getting close. Ain't long. You'll be coming now. Won't be long now. Can't you just feel him? I can feel his presence already. So we're ready for bridegroom. And we're ready for bridegroom to come. So be it morning, noon, and night, we're all dressed in spotless white. And we're ready for that bridegroom. One more time together. So we're ready for the bridegroom. Go and ask Brother Gary Joner to come dismiss us. Bridegroom to come. So be it morning, noon, or night. Rest in spotless. And we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Can we sing this little chorus together? And I will praise him, my will praise him, praise that Lamb for sinners slain. Can you praise the Lord? Let us give. Are you going away now, loving your neighbor as yourself? On this hangs the law and the prophets, to do unto others as you would have others to do unto you. That's the golden root. Are you going away with that thought in mind? From now on, you ought to share everything you've got. So we... You know the way you praise Him? The Bible said in Him that you did it unto the least of these, my brothers, my sisters, you did it unto me. And He said, I was sick and in prison, you visited me not. I was hungry, you didn't give me any food to eat. I was sick and in prison, you didn't visit me. And in that you did it not unto these, you didn't do it to me. So then, folks, if you're planning to have it on your record, then you better start ministering the gospel as to giving, as to helping, as to praying, as to fasting, as to testifying,
as to sharing with your neighbor as with the poor. You better start, because I'm telling you, you hoard what you got. Take what you got, whether it be little or much. And you remember what I say. You'll die and go to hell just as sure as the breath goes in and out your nostrils. And that breath may stop any time. You got one heartbeat between you and eternity. And that's all there is. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Don't even wait till you get old. The Bible said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Start remembering the Lord even while you're young. Give Him your life. Give Him your substance. Honor the Lord with your strength, with your life, with all that you've got. And God will fill your barns with plenty, and your presses will burst out with new wine. Your cup will run over. Take everything you've got, from your breath to all of your substance, all of your house. Be faithful. Moses was faithful in all that he had. Put it to work for God. I'll have to take everything I got, give it to God, and put it to work for God. It just thrills me to put it to work for God. And I will praise.